Welcome, everybody, to another episode of OTR Vantage Point. I am your host, Mark Kelly. Wherever you are, thank you for making us part of your day. If you like what you're hearing, give us a five-star rating, leave us a comment, even if it's an emoji. And don't forget to check out past episodes of OTR Vantage Point, as well as Warhog Words of Wisdom and our flagship On the Range podcast with Warhog Tactical and Kelly Defense. If you enjoy everything we're doing at OTR Media, go ahead and check out our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/ontherangepodcast. There you can support the show, get early access to audio, video, tons of training tips, and of course, our OTR vlogs. And while you're at it, go ahead and visit kellydefense.com and warhog.com. So the Kyle Rittenhouse trial is continuing. Looks like they're going to begin the final arguments today. Today is Monday, November 15th. I've been watching this, not super closely, but I've been watching quite a bit of it. And there's a couple things here that are very interesting to me. One is the interest in the media as far as what they're pushing about the trial and Mr. Rittenhouse. Another is the prosecution of this case. Now, I happen to have some experience in this realm. Been involved in many, many criminal trials. And my interest in this is how we've ended up here. You can look at this video, and pretty quickly, you are going to see right away why someone in the criminal justice field would believe right away that this is a solid self-defense claim. Now, of course, you have to wait. You have to do the investigation. You have to let it play out. There always can be a piece of information, something that's not on video, before, after, someone who has direct knowledge of the incident, meaning they saw or heard with their own eyes, and they are in a position to provide that direct evidence and testimony. There's always a chance that that information can come out. And totally contradict what is being seen on the video. However, the video, many would say, including myself, that this is clearly consideration for a self-defense defense. Again, I wasn't on the investigation. I didn't interview witnesses. I didn't hear what everybody had to say. I'm just basically going on what the video shows and what this testimony has shown. But when you listen to some of the prosecutor's star witnesses, the prosecutors were acting as if it was the first time they had ever heard what came out of their mouths. It really was shocking. Now, there was some damaging testimony to Mr. Rittenhouse. There was one witness who indicated that he had heard Mr. Rittenhouse said that he was going to cause harm to others and that he was starting a fire. There was some damaging testimony. The defense team's best witnesses, in some cases, came from the testimony of the witnesses that the prosecutors called. In one case, one of the individuals that was shot, the one who did not die, he actually said that he was not shot until he pointed his own gun at Kyle Rittenhouse. That could not have been the first time that the prosecution has heard this. Could not have been. That in itself alone leads to a self-defense claim. So the first thing I want to talk about is how we even ended up here. The video clearly shows three people showing aggression towards Mr. Rittenhouse. The indictment came out very quickly. This was a humongous scene in the middle of a riot. And make no mistake, it was a riot. So with the video and with the testimony of the star witness for the prosecutors, there's no way in the world this should have ended up in this type of a trial. Maybe something else, I don't know. I can't think of what, but this is not a first-degree murder. So if you believe all those facts, at the bare minimum, this prosecutor either pandered to the crowd because everybody was calling for Mr. Rittenhouse to be charged with first-degree murder. He just flat out overcharged him for whatever reason escapes me. If it wasn't overcharged because they just wanted to go after Mr. Rittenhouse or they weren't pandering to a crowd, then it's just flat out incompetence. And then on top of that, there was another issue where some evidence was excluded. Some evidence was excluded, and the prosecutor, during testimony, attempted to enter that evidence in. Now, this was one of the big scenes that many of you may have seen where the judge argued and realized what was going on. It wasn't much of an argument. The judge was pretty much telling him he knew what he was doing and that this was highly irregular and improper. That's being polite. It's flat out underhanded, if you ask me. It's either on purpose or just a flat out desperate way of trying to get a small victory, or at least to have the jury hear what the judge already ruled they weren't supposed to hear. Quite frankly, I don't know if that would have been grounds for a mistrial right away. I'm not an attorney, but I can tell you right now, that would be brought up into appeals. That's if Mr. Rittenhouse is found guilty. Now, again, I wasn't on the investigation, so I don't know what direct evidence there was, but I didn't see a whole lot in the testimony. In fact, quite the opposite. The direct evidence that I did hear wasn't very good and benefited the defense. And some of the other stuff I just didn't flat out believe. And in this case, just like many other major crimes, even in my home state, the prosecutors are heavily involved with the decision to charge or not charge. It's not the police. When it comes to this, these type of offenses, these all get put in front of a prosecutor who then decides on how they're going to handle it. And this was quickly indicted, very quickly. In my opinion, this should have never gone to a courtroom. Not with the testimony I heard, and I've heard quite a bit of it. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is the judge made a ruling that the jury will be able to hear provocation arguments, meaning that the prosecutors will be able to say that Mr. Rittenhouse led to the provocation of the attack. I've heard a lot of folks say, well, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. That does not negate self-defense claims. You may agree that he should not have been there. He shouldn't have been doing any of the stuff he was doing. He lives 20-some miles away. He should have been home. That doesn't mean he is at fault for this incident. It's not what the law states, and it shouldn't be. The rioters were allowed to be there. They were breaking the law. They were allowed to burn stuff down. So someone who claims to be going there to defend property, he's not allowed to go there? I don't think so. That's not the way I see it. Regardless, this is very concerning to see this type of prosecution with this little evidence to bring up this big of a trial. And we all hope that calmer heads will prevail, however this trial turns out. And then the media, guys. So one of the witnesses who happened to be one of the individuals shot by Mr. Rittenhouse, who testified that he was not shot until he pointed his own firearm at Mr. Rittenhouse's head. He's given time on Good Morning America. That's where we're at. So he's at a riot, rioting, runs up to Mr. Rittenhouse, points his gun at his head, then is shot, and he's the one that we're given time on Good Morning America. Unbelievable. Good Morning America won't even give the shop owners and the property owners who had all their stuff burned to the ground in Kenosha time on Good Morning America. But we give this clown time. And don't even get me started about Joy Behar on The View talking about this case. I don't know who listens to those hosts on The View. It's absolutely unwatchable. The bottom line is the media types like Joy Behar, they want you to believe that he should have never been there. He went there for the sole purpose of killing somebody. They want you to believe that. But even if you agree that he shouldn't have been there, he shouldn't have been doing what he's doing, it doesn't, again, I'll say again, does not negate the fact that he used self-defense or that he has a self-defense claim. It doesn't negate that. I don't want to leave this out. At one point, Thomas Binger, the Kenosha County Assistant DA, tries to discredit the individual that shot the video of the incident that we all see on TV. And at one point he said to the witness, "These individuals in the video that you call rioters, well, a mob rolling through the street, throwing stuff, burning stuff. Well, my friends, I don't know what your definition is, but those guys look like rioters to me." This prosecutor is a clown. He is an absolute clown. Hey guys, tell me what you think about this episode. Go ahead and leave a comment below and make sure you check out the Patreon page at patreon.com/ontherangepodcast. Also, don't forget to visit kellydefense.com and warhog.com.